I've got demons running around in my head, and they feed on insecurities I have. Won't you lay your
chapter 4
hands on my chest, that your ritual clean.
The Jedi regains consciousness less than a cycle later, when they're back at the true Mandalorian compound in the city. The first word out of his mouth is raspy and plaintive. Hell. Miles has the babe nested in a sling around his chest. He leans forward and pulls a flap of the sling down, so the two Force-sensitive Stujanis can see each other. He's here. He only settles when he's in the same room as you. Tension seeps out of Obi-Wan's body, replaced with open fondness. He likely finds my presence. He breaks off, coughing. Miles stands and fetches a cup of water, steadying Cal with one hand and helping Obi-Wan drink with the other. Obi-Wan is still seriously injured. On top of that, from everything Jango's relayed, he's the mental equivalent of an abused Tuka. He's a Jedi. Miles and Jango are true Mandalorians. He's aligned with the new Mandalorians. The ground between them is rocky at best. Miles should not be struggling to conceal how pleased he is that the Jedi's in their bed. It's a completely inappropriate thing to be feeling at this moment. Thank you, Obi-Wan says, once a few mouthfuls of water have cleared his throat. Cal likely finds my presence soothing. The Death Watch camp felt deeply unpleasant, and he's too young to know how to shield. Miles knows fuck all about how Force-sensitives perceive things, but he's determined to learn. And how does it, feel here, with us? Obi-Wan looks surprised to be asked. His eyes go momentarily distant, and then he says, cautiously, unsettled, but not alarmed. How long has it been? 3 days since you and Jango were taken. A little less than a day since we interrupted you and Jango rescuing yourselves in the Ade. Obi-Wan nods, settling the information in his mind. He lifts the blanket away from his body, casting a clinical eye over his limbs. The other children are all right? Takine and her brothers? They are. They're with the rest of our foundlings at the moment, but Takine said their parents were out of the home when the Kurtzad raided. We've sent word to the village. We're hoping for a reunion. Good. That's good. Obi-Wan lets the blanket drop. Please thank your medic for his efforts. It was unnecessary. If you... my master will reimburse you for the cost of the supplies. Miles snorts and gives his finger to Cal to chomp on. Little things vicious. Or teething. Kreese has already offered. Of course. Will you? She is well, Satine. She's a pain in the ass, but she's fine. She's antsy to get going. Said she wants to get back to her people, share with them what she's learned about the true Mandalorians during this whole mess. Right. What little color had crept back into Obi-Wan's cheeks drops out. Would you? She'll need an escort. It's certainly not going to be Obi-Wan. Jango and Miles don't plan on letting their Jedi out of bed anytime soon. For healing reasons, obviously. I'm going to go myself with a few other commandos. Jango will stay here to take care of you. Obi-Wan, if anything, goes even paler. Weird. I see. And Cal. Miles looks down at the little gremlin who has so thoroughly squirmed his way into his heart. Distracted from Obi-Wan's response. That depends on you, I guess. Cal's fate depends on Obi-Wan. How? Obi-Wan's going to be dead. Jango is going to take care of Obi-Wan after Miles leaves with Satine. Miles just said it. And back at the camp, Jango said that he only hadn't killed Obi-Wan already because Obi-Wan was still useful. He's not useful anymore. He considers, for a moment, attempting to plead for his life. But if Jango's going to be the one to kill him, the word should be saved for Jango, who is notably absent. He likely can't stand being in the same room as Obi-Wan, can't tolerate the indignity of having a Jedi as his soulmate. Would the offense, he wonders, be worse if Obi-Wan was actually a good Jedi? He remembers blurting out the words from Masters Yoda and Qui-Gon when he was sent to Vandemir that have stuck with him throughout the years. Passionate, headstrong, inclined to violence. They're true Mandalorian ideals, but anathema to the Jedi, and Mandalorians value adherence to their Rezul Nareh. To break it is to become Darmanda. They likely see Obi-Wan's inability to uphold the Jedi values as a grave failing, even though they disagree with the values themselves. What would you have me do? Obi-Wan asks quietly. For Cal, if you'd allow me to take him to the Jedi myself, I could...
No,
Miles interrupts, and Obi-Wan's jaw snaps shut. It sends a flare of pain through his skull. The worst of his injuries have been tended to, presumably to keep him alive long enough for Jango to kill him in whatever way he deems most satisfactory, but he's still sore and tender all over.
We're not letting the Jedi get their hands on you again.
Of course. It was too much to hope for.
For Cal, though, Miles continues, would his family really kill him? Obi-Wan shrugs away his earliest memory. Hands that used to comfort him. Hands he trusted. Shoving him face first into the river and holding him down.
It's the Stujani way. It's all they know. The Jedi Finders try to pay close attention to large populations of Stujani and other beings who hold similar beliefs, to intervene when possible, but our numbers are not what they once were.
Cal must have slipped through the cracks. Miles is silent, studying the babe in his arms. The moment stretches long enough for a different idea to occur to Obi-Wan.
There are other sects of Force users.
He starts carefully, watching Miles with all his senses for any hint of a negative reaction. The Guardians of the Wills, for example, on Jeddah? If you won't permit Cal to go to the Jedi, perhaps...
You won't teach him yourself.
Obi-Wan breathes through the pain. He didn't think. He hadn't gotten the sense that Miles was cruel, not like this. He still doesn't sense it in the Force, honestly. Nothing but surprise and curiosity behind Miles's question. But what else could it be than cruel to dangle something Obi-Wan absolutely cannot have in front of him? Jango's going to kill Obi-Wan after Miles goes with Satine, and Miles said Satine was impatient to depart. He could try to teach Cal basic shielding in the next few days, but the boy is still so young, and Obi-Wan's not going to be a pillar of emotional stability while awaiting his death.
I am not sure that would be wise, Obi-Wan says after a moment.
When Miles again stays quiet, now studying Obi-Wan, he feels compelled to go on and pushes out an explanation that hurts less to give.
I'm only a Padawan, and a poor one at that.
Cal would be better served by a teacher who has more to offer. Miles seems to accept this.
Tell me more of these Guardians.
Relieved, Obi-Wan does just that. Someone must have gotten word to Pre Vizsla, because no ships with Death Watch transponder codes break Atmo during the next cycle. Jango tries not to be disappointed. He's not ready to take the fight to Vizsla yet. He knows he's not. But something about watching Kirt Zod harm Obi-Wan. There is a reckoning humming for Pre Vizsla, whether he knows it or not. And that reckoning just got closer. It's late. By the time he returns to he and Miles' room after a restless patrol, Miles calmed earlier, saying Cal had calmed enough that Miles was going to try to get him to sleep with the other foundlings so their Jedi could rest. Their Jedi. Criff. Miles has got Jango doing it too. He's still not. Jango doesn't know exactly what to do,
is the thing. Kenobi's a Jedi. Jango hates the Jedi for what they did at Galajan and their sanctimonious bullshit and their apparent willingness to be nothing more than mindless followers of orders they get from the rotten to the core Galactic Senate. But Kenobi also told Miles and Jango that he's a Jedi when he didn't have to, and he knew that doing so would put him in danger. He got himself captured and drew harm away from Jango. He was prepared to die to aid Jango's escape. He fought to save children, when doing so exasperated his injuries to the point of lethality. And he did all of it without leaving a single new lie scarred into Jango's skin.
"I don't need help."
Those are the only words of Kenobi's from that first encounter back when they knew him as Ben that have lingered. Kenobi isn't a trap, isn't a scheme. He's just...
"Can you get past it?"
Miles asked earlier today.
"Him being a Jedi? I don't know,"
Jango had said, honestly.
"Think he'd give it up if we asked?"
Miles had snorted back a laugh until he'd gotten a look at Jango's face.
"You're serious. What are you going to do? Ask him to swear the Rezlanare instead? Oh, shit. You're going to ask him to swear the Rezlanare instead."
The way Jango sees it, Kenobi's already most of the way to the Rezlanare is the thing. He's educated. He speaks Mandoa. He's proven his skills in self-defense and in caring for children. All that's left, really, is to get the guy some armor and have him agree to come when Jango calls, which, okay, it's never really sounded that dirty before in Jango's head. That tenet is supposed to be about rallying around the Mandalore, not... Kenobi is sitting up when Jango arrives, legs folded beneath him in what Jango now recognizes as his meditation pose. Jango's sure he knows Jango's here, but he keeps his eyes closed for another moment, allowing Jango to look his fill. He looks both better and worse than he had in the camp. Midge injected Bacta into his ribs, arm, and knee, and put Bacta bandages on his various other wounds. The concussion they can't do much about, but Midge says it's mild. Bruises, in various states of healing, color the Jedi's skin. Midge also said, using the tone he uses when the amount of violence he sees reflected on someone's body is startling even to the veteran medic, that Kenobi has scars. Scars that tell of a lifetime of injury and mistreatment. Multiple run-ins with slavery, blaster burns, lightsaber burns, delayed medical treatment. Jango is no stranger to souvenirs of violence. But he thinks about...
"Name's Jaster, by the way."
Inscribed on Kenobi's skin, right next to all those other signs that the universe has fucked this being in particular over time and time again, and feels mildly sick to his stomach. Kenobi opens his eyes, looks at Jango, unerring, asks, voice small, "Is it time?" Time to go back to the medbay for Midge to take a look at him, yes. Midge didn't want Kenobi actually staying in the medbay to recover. No one's exactly comfortable with a Jedi within the walls of the compound to begin with, and putting him around there injured was a non-starter as far as Midge was concerned, but he'd insisted on a checkup before everyone goes to sleep.
"Miles told you. Yeah, it's time. Can you walk?"
"I will make do," Kenobi says. He gets off the bed slowly, taking hitching breaths every time something twinges, and eases his feet to the floor. It takes him a long few seconds to find his balance, but eventually he straightens, rolls his shoulders back and down, clutches his forearms in a way that probably looks regal in Jedi robes, but when he's wearing a spare tunic of Vante's, only serves to highlight how breakable he appears. Jango holds the door open. Kenobi walks into the hall, steps growing steadier with each stride as he finds his new limits. "Will it be quick?"
"Not likely,"
Jango says, thinking of the grudging concern on Midge's face.
"It's late, though, so we can't draw it out too much. It'll go faster if you cooperate."
"I will," Kenobi says, with far more solemnity than the situation calls for. But then, with all the trauma he's endured, he's probably not a fan of medbays. And Jango can be considerate. If there's any chance of this working out, any chance at all, there's a lot between them that will need to be repaired.
Jango can put down the first slat in this bridge, see how Kenobi responds.
Is the medbay okay?
Jango asks, ushering Kenobi around a corner.
We can do this somewhere else.
The medbay? Kenobi looks confused. I don't... The medbay is fine. Easiest clean, I suppose. Now, Jango's the one confused.
I'm not anticipating this getting messy, but yeah, I guess.
Kenobi nods and falls silent again. He's breathing weird, Jango notices. Midge swore his ribs were patched up. Stable, at least, although requiring a week or so of restricted activity to fully heal. So Jango's not sure what that's about, but hey, here they are at the medbay. It's not much, just the converted first floor of a small house. Midge doesn't seem to be in. Maybe he's in the supply room. Jango watches Kenobi's eyes track around the space. Three unoccupied beds, and a fourth unexpectedly holding...
Lilith?
Jango sighs, moving forward.
What are you doing here?
The 8-year-old hops off the cot, grinning brightly. Takeen wanted to come, but she also wanted to stay with her brothers. So I came instead, so I can tell her all about it later. Jango sighs.
We generally try to give people privacy for things like this.
Lilith pouts. But he's a Jedi. He is, isn't he? That's what all the kids are saying. And we never get to see Jedi. Everyone's always all, they're child stealers, Lilith. And you have to hide, Lilith. Jango winces, remembering what Miles told him Kenobi said about the Jedi finders and parents who hurt or kill their own children. Miles' skin is also unscarred by any new lies. He's sure there are instances where a kid is perfectly safe and loved, and the Jedi swoop in and snatch them against their will, but maybe it's not that black and white.
That's enough, Lilith.
She pouts and folds her arms across her chest. Yeah, they say that one a lot, too. Jango resists the urge to pinch the bridge of his nose, the way Jaster used to when Jango or Arla was being particularly stubborn.
You can stay. It'll be good for you to see how this is done. But only if the Jedi says it's okay. Jedi.
He turns around, looking for Kenobi, and has to look twice when it turns out the man has pressed himself into the corner so tightly that he's nearly swallowed by a shadow. He's staring at Jango, wide blue eyes and a pale, pale face, radiating horror and dismay and betrayal. Jango frowns, takes a step closer, holds out a hand.
Kenobi?
Kenobi flinches, retreating even further. You want me to grant permission for a child to witness my execution? Jango, he replays the last few hours in his head. Surely Miles told Kenobi. Surely Jango told Kenobi. No one's happy about the situation, but...
Will it be quick?
Kenobi had asked. And...
Not likely. It'll go faster if you cooperate.
Jango had responded. Jango's in full armor, helmet included. He is carrying multiple weapons. He is the rightful Mandalore, and will be recognized as such once he kills his second Vizsla. Kenobi is in borrowed clothes, and barefoot, and a lone Jedi apprentice on a planet hostile to his kind.
You're late,
Midge says loudly, emerging from the supply room and scowling down at a data pad.
You...
In the fraction of a second in which Jango's attention is split between the medic and is panicking, terrified, still thinks Jango is going to kill him soulmate, Kenobi bolts.